Welcome, everyone, to Midday Magazine for this August 25th, 2023. I have your host, James, here, and I am joined right now by a couple of our favorite people. We're going to talk about the new school year with our good friend, Craig Broren, Wisconsin Rapids Public Schools Superintendent. Craig, good to see you.
Good morning.
I appreciate you being here. And you brought in a friend. We have Roxanne Filtz with us. Did I get that right, Roxanne?
Yes, you did.
Oh, I love your name. I want to make sure I get it right. It's good to see you again. Thanks a lot for being here. Roxanne, Craig, we have school starting like right around the corner here. Got a lot to talk about. I thought we could focus and get into the curriculum and the all the layers to that. But it's a big topic. Where do you want to start with that?
Yeah, well, I think I'll just point out that what we are wrapping up, and I'll turn it over to Roxy to get into some of the specifics, but what we're wrapping up this week is new staff orientation. So that is incorporated under the curriculum instruction umbrella. And then, of course, Monday is when all staff return, and we have a handful of days of in-service and professional development prior to the start of school year for kids. And so I think the understanding of all of the things that go into prepping for a new school year, as well as what falls under that curriculum instruction umbrella, is an excellent topic for Roxy to share some thoughts on.
Yeah, Roxanne, all of us, at one way or another, know what it's like the first day of school, or starting, you know, going from graded school to high school, or these kind of things. Most of us don't know what it's like for teachers the start of the new school year.
That's correct. We have 34 new teachers that are starting. Some are new to the profession, some are fresh out of college, and some have years of experience that are just moving to the Rapids District to teach for the first time. So we've had 34 involved in a week-long orientation. Very excited. They've been an awesome audience, and we cover everything from curriculum to insurance to human resources to what to expect when you get in your buildings. We spend a day and a half in the buildings so that they get comfortable with what they're going to be working with, where their supplies are, where their room is, where should they park, all of those things. So it's been a great experience this last past week with them.
What is new for our teachers this year when coming into it?
For the teachers in general?
For the teachers in general, yeah.
Well, basically, on a physical level, there's going to be new playgrounds put in each of our different schools that we're going to be able to do some outdoor learning spaces with our students. It expands the learning more from just being in the four walls of the classroom to other places. We have adopted a brand new health curriculum that went through the curriculum adoption process last year. We are working on our secondary FIED acquisition, which means we've purchased all of our new material and equipment for secondary FIED 612. So that's going to be implemented this next year. And last year we did the formal adoption of our new 912 science curriculum and pieces. So that'll be new for the teachers when they're coming in. Our whole curriculum adoption process is a long process. Every 10 years we go through a rotation of our major curricular areas. And part of the adoption means that the teachers go through their curriculum maps. They look to see if there's any holes or gaps in the things that they're teaching as they align to state standards and what our standards are. We're constantly changing to make sure that we're meeting the needs of our students and our families. And as we all know, students and families' needs change every year. So we want to make sure that we're staying on top of those things. We want to stay on top of best practice. We do a lot of research. And then we have a curriculum committee that goes through and pilots materials for at least a year so we get different views of what it is that we want to bring to the classroom. And the final and most important piece is we do a parent review of anything that we're going to purchase, and curriculum goes through a parent review where we have an open house where the parents can come in, look, ask questions. Everything's out there in the open. It's transparent. We go through what's called our Curriculum for Instructional Improvement Committee, and they ask tough questions before we even take our curriculum to the board for approval, just to make sure that we are doing our job in representing what it is that we want to teach our students.
What kind of questions have you been getting recently or in the last year or so from parents?
There's a lot of questions concerning our...
It's a loaded question.
It's a very loaded question.
I know.
And the questions, I mean, I appreciate the questions that are being asked because we have nothing to hide. Our curriculum is transparent. Anybody can come in and look at what we teach. It's an open book. So if anybody has any questions about anything, they can actually come in. A lot of questions around, you know, our human growth and development in our health curriculum, that's part of the deal. What we're reading at Lincoln High School, what kind of books we're reading. A lot of questions about how we're representing a wide variety of authors in what it is that we're reading, what's assigned reading and what is optional reading. We are getting a lot of compliments about the new science wing at Lincoln High School, the fact that it's really been in-depth and is really giving a great learning experience for our students at Lincoln High School. I think that a lot of people in the public don't understand that, you know, we have aviation classes at Lincoln High School where students can decide if they want to be, you know, commercial pilots. We have an in-house health, like a central health classes where students can graduate with a CNA degree if they want. A lot of people may not realize that we have our construction classes actually build a house. Mm-hmm. And we learned yesterday that the house that was built last year was almost $500,000. And that was, you know, led by student builders. You know, they have subcontractors and things like that. There are so many great things that are going on in curriculum that it's sometimes overlooked when there's something controversial that comes up that we don't get to see the really good things that are going on.
Mm-hmm. I'll just jump in and say, too, because I think this is an excellent time to emphasize this. So it's not atypical that there's parent involvement and opportunities at review in school districts. But frankly, here in Wisconsin Rapids, we take it to the nth degree. I mean, we're not doing anything under the cover of darkness, right? And I think if you have kids in school, you know. If you don't, then clearly it's harder to get your mind around what may or may not be going on, right? So when there's topics that are considered controversial or something like that, in most cases, what I'm finding here locally is that these things aren't really happening. Clearly, I recently had a question about, you know, what are you teaching in terms of gender identity, which is kind of a hot button topic. And frankly, we're not teaching anything in terms of gender identity. It's not really a curricular topic that's covered. Does the subject come up on occasion? Well, I would imagine, you know. However, this idea that we're somehow teaching kids to be transgendered or something like that is flatly false. And if you don't have kids in school, you might think, well, yeah, that must be going on because I'm hearing so much about it in this national narrative. So what I would point back to is, we're a microcosm of a broader society in a public school setting, particularly when you have right around 5,000 students, right? So we serve all students. That's one of the benchmarks or hallmarks of public education, which is frankly one of the reasons why I'm so passionate about it, because I believe every kid deserves a chance at getting a decent education, and that's what we stand for. But nonetheless, we still ensure that parents retain all of the rights that parents, in fact, should have, and that is to direct the education and upbringing of their own kids. But keep in mind that that doesn't mean you get to direct the education and upbringing of other people's kids, right? So we're in that delicate balance. But to cater to that, one of the things that we do is allow for parent review of curriculum. With human growth and development curriculum, ironically, there is an ability for parents to opt out if there's things that you think are controversial or that you don't want your kids to be exposed to. Here again, we're not talking explicitly about gender identity. That's not really part of human growth and development, right?
Right.
And so it's those aspects in incorporating where if we know, if you're a parent and you have kids in school, you should know or you absolutely have access to whether or not you, you know, uptake that information is on you to engage and find out more. And the truth, the same thing is true for community members. If just out of curiosity, you would like to review curriculum, clearly we can coordinate that, and you have that opportunity. And that is, I think, further evidence of the fact that we're doing what we think is best for kids and trying to meet the needs of all kids that we serve.
I tell myself whenever we get together, Craig, I'm not going to do this, and I can't help it every time I get emotional when these topics come up. For one, as somebody who's dealt with anti-Semitism, racism my whole dang life, I will tell you that most people fear what they don't know. And once they get to know you, once they talk to you, they realize, oh, you're just like me. And that's what I've been trying to tell you. It's very similar to this. Whether you have kids in school or you don't, ask questions. That's how you get the answers. You can tell the people that they just want to bark because they don't ask questions. They're just there to bark. That's it. And as somebody who, growing up, I love learning. I love learning. I don't care what the subject is. I love learning about it. My brain can't get enough of it. But in school, I finally come out here and I get a chance to just be a learner. I don't have to worry about watching my back every 5 seconds like in Chicago and everything, like an inner city kid to do. I'm getting emotional. Sorry. I come here and I'm excited about history. I want to learn about history. I want to know about my people. I want to learn about Jews. I want to learn about the Holocaust. I want to learn about Italians and these things. And we get going and nothing. Nothing. We never even talked about it. Like, it wasn't until high school that the Holocaust came up. Like, these kind of things. This stuff matters. It's not just representing for people like myself so that we actually feel like we're a part of this country. We're a part of this whole thing that we're doing here, this wonderful experiment. But it's also important for the kids that are growing up that are the opposite of me, to create that empathy, to create that understanding of world history, so we don't not only repeat these things, but that we can learn from the trailblazers and the people that got us here. If you really love this country, if you're a real proud American, you want this stuff happening in your schools, because this is our history. This is our world.
And also,
let me get off my soapbox.
No, that's here. And if students can't see themselves in the literature that they read or in the history that they study, why would they be interested? Yeah. You know, education is your way out of poverty. Education is your success in life. Learning, you need to be a lifelong learner. And if you can't identify with what it is that's being taught, if it's all being taught from one viewpoint and you're never exposed to anything else, how are you learning and growing? And that's a passion of mine as well. Uh-huh.
The other piece that I toss in there, and I adamantly agree with you, James, is the idea that I think some of these things that are quote unquote controversial are not for kids. Mm-hmm. You see what I'm saying?
Like, yes.
Kids are just like, yeah, so what? I mean, mm-hmm. it is what, I don't care if you're Jewish. You're cool. I like you. You know, and
couldn't care less. Yeah.
Right. And so that those elements that tend to seep their way in, particularly on these national narratives, are stirring the pot for whatever reason that ulterior motive is to make those things happen. You don't really see that playing out, at least in our schools, right? Kids kind of get it. Clearly, our approach and focus, particularly with social emotional learning, and I know that there's a narrative out there that's about indoctrinating kids into communism or whatever the heck the nonsense is there. But ultimately what it comes down to is what you mentioned. And frankly, the community that we want to live in and what we hold ourselves to and what we attempt to hold our students to is one of tolerance, right? Where I have the ability to do the things that I want to do and get my needs met, not at the cost of yours, mm-hmm. and vice versa, right? I mean, ultimately, that's the foundation of a functional society. And that's not to say that you have to agree mm-hmm. or support everything that someone else does, but just frankly tolerate it.
Yeah.
Because most of this stuff doesn't impact other people to a huge degree, right?
Yeah.
And I always go back, like, when we talk about this conversation regarding these sorts of things, I go back to, like, in my high school days, punk was a thing, mm-hmm. right? And so it'll date me a little bit. I started high school in 88 and graduated in 92. And so that'll give you a little bit of that time frame. And there was a couple of students in my high school, local, Eastern Wisconsin. So mm-hmm. I'm not talking about New York or Chicago. And there's a couple of students that were, I mean, they brought this to another level, you know, spikes and leather and mohawk and shaved mm-hmm. head, like legitimate mohawk.
Yeah.
82 colors.
Yes.
And it was wild, you know, mm-hmm. it was absolutely wild. And what's interesting about that approach is just like back then in 88, 89, 90, whatever it was, the kids really didn't care. They're like, hey, one gal was Lynn. I'll never forget. It's like, hey, Lynn, how's it going? Oh, good. And she was a super nice kid.
Yeah.
But did that get some looks? Well, yeah, absolutely. And so there's always these things that ebb and flow in society. And there's, you know, particularly kids of certain ages and humans of certain ages mm-hmm. engage in behaviors to explore and do different things. And frankly, that's part of the richness of society. And we can look around and see these different things kind of happening. Tying back to the curriculum, the mm-hmm. point is that we're not doing anything that we're trying to hide. Nothing is being hidden. Parents have opportunity to engage and learn more if you have kids in the system. If you don't have kids in the system and you want to learn more, you can talk to Roxy or myself or other individuals in the school, and we're more than happy to explain some of these things to you.
As a matter of fact, we have our Council for Instructional Improvement, and we have three parent reps on that council, and they serve three-year terms. And this year, we have one term that's up, so I've been taking applications until 3 o'clock this afternoon, and I've had 24 requests for applications, and as of right before we came on the air, I had 9 returned of parents that are genuinely interested in supporting the curriculum, wanting to know what the curriculum is, and having a seat at the table to just ask the tough questions. And we have to be prepared to answer those tough questions. And like I said, what we're doing is very transparent. We have nothing to hide. I'm very proud of the work that we've done in Wisconsin Rapids with our curriculum and with helping our students and our teachers.
If people want to be a part of that still, can they still send an application? You said until like 3 o'clock
yes,
today?
Yes, they can still request an application.
By the time this is played,
The time this is played, gotcha. Probably not. So it's been out there. We've advertised it on social media. It's been out there for two weeks. It's been on the school webpage. And I said I've had 24 requests you know, for applications, and 9 have been returned completed.
I feel for you all in this system. I can't think of anything more important in society than education. And one of the greatest things we do as human beings is passing down information. You got enough on your plates to have to deal with these kind of stuff as well is unnecessary and a shot in the foot. It's shooting ourselves in the foot when we don't need to. And it's also, I don't want to just focus on that, though, because there are so many parents out there that are so supportive of all this and so engaged in this. And you mentioned the opportunity to be able to be literally engaged with these classes and finding out more. I believe that there is more good than bad out there by far and away, especially in this area.
No question.
Absolutely agree with you.
No question.
When it comes to Act 20, I want to get into that a little bit with you both. Where can we start with that?
Well, I'll just launch by, for the background for listeners, to say that Act 20 was incorporated into the recent biennial budget approval. And so for those that are not familiar, generally what it's being described as is kind of the science of reading legislation here in the state of Wisconsin. And so that can take on several different permutations, but generally it's talking about evaluating and implementing a more holistic approach to early language acquisition and ensuring that things like phonics and so forth from the old days remains included, as well as some of the things from the new days. And Roxy can give you some more specific details about that.
Yeah. In particular, the Act is Act 20 is requiring that schools will adopt a new early reading curriculum that has been approved by the state. So we're waiting for guidance on the state's level yet. The new curriculum will be it'll be implemented in the 24-25 school year. So it'll be the beginning of the 24-25 school year. And it's going to be based on the science of reading. Now, there's pros and cons on both sides of how reading is taught. My personal belief is that we have to meet somewhere in the middle, because not all students learn the same. You can have a room of 20 kids, and they are not going to learn in the same way. Mm-hmm. So we have to be able to figure out, as teachers, as professionals, how does student A learn, how does student B learn, and to meet their needs. We can't just put them all in the same basket and say, okay, this is the be-all, end-all way to teach something. Mm-hmm. And we can't ignore the way any of them learn. So we want to be able to find that balance. We are fortunate in a way with Act 20 coming when it did for the timing purposes, because we're approaching our English language arts K-5 acquisition, which is a 10-year rotation. Yeah. So it's not like we just purchased all kinds of materials last year that we won't be able to use. We're going to be able to go through our process, our curriculum process, and meet the requirements of the state at the same time.
Oh, that's cool.
It is. That part, we were very fortunate. I would have hated to have been one of the districts that might have just invested a lot in something and now they won't be able to use it.
Keep in mind, though, it's not required, because Wisconsin is a local control state. So what it is recommended. What they're going to do is develop a list of recommended ELA and early literacy curricula, which you would have the opportunity at selecting from. And then what I'm understanding, too, is that there's likely some grants associated with that would actually buy down the cost, if not the entire cost, for the district that districts that choose to implement that. Additionally, we will still follow what our own protocols are internally and then rely heavily on, I would assume, this newly generated list and curricula, and follow a similar process in which our people are still going to evaluate it. We're going to pilot, you know, opportunities. We're going to ensure that as a balanced approach, and hopefully can identify that it's going to meet the needs of the majority, if not all, of our kids, you know, right off the bat. So there's a number of things in this moving part, but I just wanted to emphasize this is not a mandate. So the state is not telling you this is the ELA curriculum you must teach.
Correct.
I don't think we'll see that in the state of Wisconsin. That's not true elsewhere.
Mm-hmm.
But having a repository of, hey, these have been vetted, and we know that these will do the job in our opinion, and now here you can help select from those in order to implement in your own district, makes life a lot easier in that regard, because I'm sure you're not shocked to find there is a litany of possibilities out there in terms of ELA and reading instruction.
It's important to let people be able to make those decisions, too, not just with parents, but with teachers, where you guys are going to have a better understanding than the people that are sending this information, possibly.
That's true. And it also saves the autonomy of teachers to do what they are best at, you know, and that's understanding who their kids are and how mm-hmm. where their strengths are in teaching. So it allows for that as well.
It also feels like, and this is kind of a side question, but you mentioned how every kid learns differently. You got 20 kids, almost every one of them is going to learn differently. It feels like our system is doing a better job of applying to that.
I would absolutely agree.
Okay. It feels that way. That's great to hear.
It does. And it's not as simple as just having students sit in a desk for, you know, 45 minutes in this class, then sit in a desk 45 minutes in another class. You know, our kids are used to, you know, screen time. They're used to being mobile. Kids learn better if they're moving, if they're walking around, if they're making noise. A noisy classroom doesn't mean that there's not any learning that goes on in that mm-hmm. classroom. There's probably a lot of learning that's going on in that classroom, and kids are able to socialize with each other, which they don't do enough of. You know, they need to be able to talk. They need to be able to see each other. And I think that our teachers are so good at knowing what strengths lie in front of them, and they take advantage of that with their kids.
Yeah. Was there anything else about Act 20 that you wanted to touch on?
We're working on the professional development part of it. We want to make sure that we're prepared or as well prepared as we can be. Some of our teachers have done letters training, which is one of the curricular pieces that the state is looking at as possibly being on that list. So we're ahead of the game mm-hmm. as well. We have one teacher that is becoming dyslexia certified. Mm-hmm. So she's working on getting her certification so she could bring her information back and work mm-hmm. with our reading interventionists on being able to identify dyslexia earlier mm-hmm. in our students and the things that we can do for that. So we've been very proactive in making sure that we have the resources available to us to move forward as best we can.
I was diagnosed with a minor dyslexia at 31, and I remember looking at the doctor and telling him, like, how does this develop this late in life and everything? And I felt foolish as I was saying, because as I'm saying it, I'm realizing, wait a minute, no, I probably have had this my whole life. I just didn't even know. Right. That is so wonderful to hear, Roxanne. That's great.
Right. We're working on anything that we can. I mean, I am very proud of our district and the amount of professional development that we offer to our staff and amongst each other. For instance, at our opening in-service, we have a guest speaker who's going to be presenting to us by the name of John O'Leary, and he is going to provide a message of, you need to be able to live your life engaged. You need to be able to control what you can control and do the best at what you can do mm-hmm. with what's in front of you, and come to work every day and show up. Show up for the kids, show up for yourself, show up for who you are and what you want to be, and just live your life to the fullest and live inspired and be engaged. Mm-hmm. And I'm looking so forward to the message that we've invited the entire staff. We're talking anywhere. The importance of a Noonaid and Craig in the life of a child is exactly the same. Yeah. You know, the bus driver is the first person that some of those students see in the morning. Mm-hmm. You know, that relationship, that building from the very beginning of the day to when those kiddos go home at night, and whether mm-hmm. they're 6 or they're 16, doesn't matter. We need to make sure that as professionals in education, we've come into education for a reason, and let's remember what that reason is, and mm-hmm. let's get back to that. Let's get back to enjoying every minute that we have in our careers.
Very well said. I wish I didn't have 2 more minutes. I could have just ended right there. That was really good, Roxanne.
I'll put a plug in, though, because, and James, you probably want to read this book. Over the last 6 years, we've gotten to know each other fairly well, and mm-hmm. I think you'd enjoy it quite a bit. John O'Leary is the author, and so it's spelled like you think it would, O'Leary.
Yeah, great author.
And his book is On Fire, is what it's called. That's the one you want to look for. There's another one, I think it's called In Awe.
In Awe, yeah.
Oh, that one I know. But, I heard that one.
That's getting back to your childlike way of mm-hmm. looking at things.
So start with On Fire. I like it because, well, you know me well enough to know I'm not kind of a rainbows and unicorns kind mm-hmm. of guy, right?
Yeah.
And it's not that. It's not this hokey nonsense, you know, just wake up and smile and everything's great. You know, it's not that. But the most profound impact for me was this idea that it is ultimately in your control, right? Mm-hmm. And there's an excellent quote in there. I'm not going to remember it, but basically it is, you can't always choose the path that you walk in life, but you can choose the way in which you walk it. Mm. It's something like that. Mm. And that encapsulates exactly what the most profound, and again, this was to me. Someone else might read it and see something else in that regard. But that does help you recognize from your own personal mindset, right, that it's my choice, right? Yeah. I can choose to be upset and negative, or I can choose to utilize things that might create negativity or you know, poor self-talk to a learning experience and use that to build myself for whatever the next battle or you know, hurdle might be.
Yeah, yeah.
And so it's those aspects that were profound, but it is very pragmatic and rational in how it's delivered.
I love a new book recommendation. Thank you very much, sir. It reminds me of one of my favorite quotes, Maya Angelou, that I can't help what happens to me, but I can help how I react to it.
Correct.
Absolutely.
It's really good. That's a good one, man. I wanted to wrap up making sure that we remind everybody to be safe out there. Keep an eye out for our kids. Keep an eye on the little guys, little girls going to be running around, and we can't expect them to be thinking like adults. We have to be the adults in these situations. Be on the lookout for our kids. Be on the lookout for our bus drivers, our bus. Craig, are we in need of bus drivers still?
Yes, okay. Absolutely. So Lamers and Safeway are the two contractors that we work with that are located locally here. Mm-hmm. And you can reach out to either of them directly. If you're having troubles with that, you can reach out to me and we'll get you connected. But yes, if there's sports routes, regular bus routes, in fact, we run vans. That's actually through the district. If you're interested, you don't want to get a CDL or a bus driver's license and you want to just drive a van, we can assist in that regard. So yeah, anyone that's interested in terms of transportation would be more than welcome to fill out an application and get moving.
Thank you for everything you do for our community. Thank you for hanging out with me for a little while here and talking and getting our audience ready for the school year as well. Appreciate both of you and everything you do.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You can find out more by going to WRPS.org. That's WRPS.org. We will have more Midday Magazine for you next week right here at WFHR.